Down on us, we live it up.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Have you watered or fertilized today?
Never.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm always thinking of different messages to give to the team. We all water. We all fertilize.
Have you watered or fertilized today?
Never say never, but never.
Today's guest, Fox Sports college football analyst Joel Klatt. Pro Football Hall of Famer Jerry Rice. Actor and comedian Jeff Garland, plus co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We've got a lot going on here today. Thanks for joining us here on NBC Sports on Peacock and NBC Sports Audio on Sirius XM, our Odyssey station, coast to coast. That you can check us out every single day. You can stream us. And, of course, the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network. Our YouTube page is how you can catch up on anything that you missed. And our whole archive as well, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We also repeat on NBC Sports on Peacock Channel later on in the day. Plus, there's our podcast on the Cumulus Podcast Network. Chris Brockman, good to see you in your position. Mike Del Tufo.
Rich, good to see you.
TJ Jefferson in his spot right there. Good to see you, TJ.
What up, Richard?
I am hanging out, getting ready for Thursday Night Football tonight. Mm-hmm. World Series is all even at one apiece, and tonight's the off night of the World Series. And tonight, though, week 8 in the NFL season begins, and it is a doozy. And we've got the Packers and the Arizona Cardinals. And on Sunday, when we were all looking over the steering wheel, because we knew that the Cardinals, despite being down 5-3 in their game against the Houston Texans, most likely were going to win that game and arrive for Week 8, the opener against the Green Bay Packers at 7-0. And we knew the Green Bay Packers taking on the Washington football team in Lambeau Field had a good shot to take care of business against Taylor Heineke, and they did that. And then we figured they'll arrive at 6-1 versus 7-0. That'll be great. And who knew that Devontae Adams was going to pop for COVID the next day? And then on Wednesday night, as we're sitting around watching the World Series and checking out what's going on in the NBA, including the Los Angeles Lakers blowing a 26-point lead in Oklahoma City, who knew that across our Twitter feed, we would learn that J.J. Watt played the second half of his game against his former team, the Texans, with a shoulder injury that will require season-ending surgery, according to Adam Schefter. No date set for the surgery. Our guest yesterday from the NFL Media Group, Ian Rappaport, says that, you know, surgery is coming, likely, and that rehab, you never know, with J.J. Watt. But looks like it's season-ending. So no Watt against his hometown team that he grew up playing against, and no Devontae Adams, no Alan Lazard, who you figured would be put into Devontae Adams' spot because he's an unvaccinated close contact of somebody who was tested positive for COVID, didn't make the flight with the team yesterday. And that's how 7-0 versus 6-1 is set up with a backdrop for tonight. Chandler Jones, fresh off of the COVID-19 list, looks like he will be ready to go tonight. DeAndre Hopkins is questionable. I need you to keep an eye on that throughout this three-hour program.
Yeah, that's very important.
Since he is rostered in 99.9% of fantasy leagues, you always see that number, and you're like, I don't want to be in that fantasy league at 0.01% that does not have DeAndre Hopkins rostered sitting there on a waiver wire untouched. Or I guess I'd rather be in that league. So that'll be something to keep an eye on this program. Also know this, for anybody out there thinking this is a wrap because Rodgers doesn't have Devontae Adams and so on and so forth. Here's an interesting number I received from NFL Network Research, top-notch organization. Did you know that Aaron Rodgers, in prime time since 2020, okay? Since the drafting of Jordan Love.
Okay.
The 2020 season combined with his already two nationally televised appearances this year against the Lions at home and the 49ers. Aaron Rodgers is 8-0 in those primetime games with a touchdown interception ratio of 26-1.
Is that good?
He's completed 75% of his passes in those eight games, amassed 2,000 yards passing in those eight games. His passer rating is a buck 34.5. Nobody's had a better passer rating in primetime games since the beginning of last year to the current day. This is among quarterbacks with three or more primetime starts. Aaron Rodgers also, okay, but Davante Adams is out, right?
Davante Adams is out.
No 17 for 12? What's the problem? It's a big problem.
Big problem.
Without Davante Adams, since Matt LaFleur showed up, they played six games without Davante Adams. Would you care to guess what the Packers' record with Aaron Rodgers quarterbacking is?
How many games again?
Six games.
They played six games. I'm going to guess they're 6-0.
That's correct. He's completed 70% of his passes for 310 passing yards. His touchdown to interception ratio in that game, in those games, are 17 touchdowns, one interception.
Is that good? TJ, confirmed?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Without Davante Adams, since Matt LaFleur became the Packers' head coach, and that's that, because he missed weeks 5 through 8 in 2019 with turf toe, and weeks 3 and 4 with a hamstring injury last year, and now here's week 8 beginning without Davante Adams. So keep that in mind tonight as Aaron Rodgers shows up in Arizona, where, if you recall, he played his first career playoff game.
Oh,
remember that one?
I do.
It was an offensive juggernaut.
Crazy
on tilt against Kurt Warner and the Arizona Cardinals.
Went to overtime.
And it ended on a sack fumble caused by Aaron Rodgers getting hit in the face mask in his first career playoff game. No flag. I proffer to say, these days, that would earn a flag. And it was, remember, Carlos Dansby ran that one in the end zone. And that's when that started the Super Bowl run for the Arizona Cardinals.
That's right.
So get ready to see video of that tonight. Can't wait for that. 6-1 versus 7-0. Both teams missing significant parts. And Aaron Rodgers has a history of performing well without his significant part. So that's in week 8. Starts tonight. Another team that has only one loss in the NFC, coming off of a bye week at 5-1. The Dallas Cowboys. Now, Dak Prescott, as we all know, in the fifth win for the Dallas Cowboys, ending week 6 to go 5-1, five straight wins since losing their opener. Green Bay's got six straight wins since losing their opener, although the state of Florida was much more kind to Dallas than it was to Green Bay. As we know, Dallas lost a close one, a squeaker, the night that Brady hoisted a banner in a spot other than New England for the first time. And so anyway, he walked out of New England with his leg in a walking boot with a calf injury, suffered on the final throw of the game as he leapt and threw to CeeDee Lamb for a walk-off overtime touchdown. And it was like, good thing there's a bye week. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. And we heard from yesterday Jerry Jones talked on Tuesday about this needing monitoring, but he's feeling good about it. And Ian Rappaport said yesterday, absolutely he's going to play.
No
Everything
worries.
Seems to be fine. Saturday, he was in the pool. Right?
In the pool.
Right?
Not the pond.
Cooper Rush is in the
pool.
Pond.
Rush in the pond.
And
Dak
so,
in the pool.
Yes. So we heard that yesterday. And Ian's the one who said, hey, that precautionary MRI on his throwing shoulder during the summer, no big deal. That is actually precautionary. So we listen to Ian, right? Mm-hmm. We listen to Ian. We hear
absolutely.
Ian. He said he thinks he's absolutely
always listen
good
to
play.
Ian.
Well, today Mike McCarthy has spoken, TJ. You aware of this?
Uh-oh. I did not know.
Okay. Mike McCarthy has spoken today. Dak got through the limited practice yesterday healthy.
Oh, great.
He came through it fine. However, these calf injuries are dicey. This is what Mike McCarthy had to say about how they're going to approach Sunday night's game.
Given the unpredictable nature of a calf injury like this, if you were to play Dak, is there any consideration being given to having three quarterbacks available for the game?
Definitely. Talked about it. I think all the hypotheticals that, you know, everyone here I'm sure has gone through, we've done the same. So, but, you know, as I stated, there's no timeline on when we're going to make the decision. I think you take in the full week. You know, Dak has a ton invested as far as his personal conditioning, and you know, we trust the relationship between him and Britt to get across that threshold. That's frankly where we stand.
Three quarterbacks going to be active. Do you know who the third quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys is? TJ Jefferson, diehard Dallas Cowboy fan.
The third quarterback.
The third quarterback on the depth chart.
Yeah, Kellen Moore.
That's incorrect. That's the offensive coordinator.
Oh, I just had to look it up.
Will Greer.
Oh, Will Greer out of West
Will
Virginia.
Greer. Will Greer.
He can play.
Will Greer.
He was a folk hero for the Mountaineers.
NBC already looking in to see if you can flex out of a game between quarters one and two. Yesterday we were talking about, can NBC flex out of a game in the late window, like, hey, you know, call up ESPN. Can you get football. The Giants on a plane now so we can play tonight in Kansas City? Actually, they'll already be in Kansas City. Can you send them now?
Yeah.
Just call 80,000 rowdy fans.
Round it up.
That would normally be there for a Monday
right,
night. Put them on Sunday.
Yeah, just move it.
Call in all Chiefs fans. Get to the stadium tonight.
Look, it doesn't matter if I was quarterbacking. The numbers are still going to be there. People are going to still watch.
The NFC East is a wrap. You take a look, actually, right now as week eight starts. It's a wrap, please. Mm-hmm. It's a wrap. The NFC East is a wrap. And unless Dak gets significantly hurt.
Yeah.
And you take a look, actually, in week eight. You can make a case that the NFC East is a wrap. The NFC North is a wrap.
Ooh.
You can make that case.
Okay, what else? Because I want to put up a poll here.
The NFC South, and this is another interesting one for this weekend. If the Bucs beat the Saints, that's a wrap. That'd be 3.5 game lead with Tom Brady at 7-1, and the Saints being 4-3. That's a big, big, huge football game in the NFC South. Because Atlanta, I don't think, is going to run down Tampa, and Carolina, having already benched Sam Darnold. And now trying to reinstall him amidst them removing their name from the pursuit of Deshaun Watson in the rumor mill.
So you said the North, right? East and North?
NFC East is a wrap.
Yep.
NFC North is a wrap.
Okay.
Okay.
South?
I will call that a wrap, even though the Vikings could be 4-3 and the Packers are 6-2 by the end of the weekend. Entirely possible.
AFC East?
AFC East, I think, is a wrap, but I will not, because that involves Bill Belichick, and I dare not overlook him. I think the AFC East is a wrap.
South? You said the South.
AFC,
right?
South, if the Colts lose and their season sweep by the Tennessee Titans, both South divisions in the AFC and the NFC in week eight could be placed in the wrap category, which is kind of crazy for the longest regular season ever.
Right.
But I'm looking over these steering wheels right now, and I'm seeing AFC.
Put those in there.
South could be a wrap. The AFC East is the most likely wrapped, because I don't think the Patriots can compete with the Bills over the long run, over a long haul. But this is a week-to-week league, and it's been now it'll be about 10 days since the Bills have last lost a game and last played a game, and they lost it.
Okay. So which South do you like is more as a wrap? I'm going to put the AFC East in there as a wrap. And which South do you like more as a wrap?
I'll take the AFC South.
Okay.
Although both divisions can be a wrap if the winning team, the team that leads the division right now, wins this weekend, particularly the AFC South, because that would mean the Titans are done with the Colts and have swept them.
This is great. NFC East should blow this out.
But this is a big game also for the one-loss Saints. The one-loss Rams in the NFC, they're going to Houston, and that should be a safe assumption, which is the words you have to use in the NFL right now. But that's what Week 8's about right now.
Love it.
Pretty much setting that up. With the undefeated Cardinals taking on the Packers tonight, and then the Cowboys taking on the Vikings later on Sunday night. And then you've got the Saints taking on the Bucs in a late window on Fox on Sunday for Halloween. That is a big, huge football game. And then you've got the Tennessee Titans and the Colts in the AFC South. That one is a monster contest because, again, the Tennessee Titans have already beaten the Colts, and that would be a season sweep. And that would be a wrap in that division, too. For the longest regular season in the history of the NFL, to have those many divisions essentially decided through 8 weeks would kind of be a surprise.
Well, the NFC is just a beast with all the undefeated Cardinals.
You could pretty much tell through, as we're entering week eight tonight, who's taking up most of the games in the musical chairs of the NFC playoff race. Mm-hmm. You know? Which is why, you know, who's taking that seventh seat? Why the 49ers are still in the mix? Why the Bears are technically still in the mix? Why the Vikings look pretty healthy coming off of a bye week right now? If they could beat the Cowboys and get that in their win column, in the NFC tiebreaker as well. That would be pretty neat for them. You know, that seventh seed is what kind of keeps a lot open in the NFC. So setting a table for a very fascinating program. Who's on, you ask? Well, Jeff Garlin in hour number three of Curb Enthusiasm.
Big bowl of fun.
Oh, big bowl of fun with Jeff. Diehard Bears fan. He's got the Goldbergs and Curb Your Enthusiasm both back for seasons 9 and 11, respectively, on ABC and HBO, respectively. Michael Smith will help us take us to his show on Brother from Another right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Hour number two, this is what I love about this show. Can it get any further away, polar opposites, from one end to the other of the NFL spectrum, from Jerry Rice?
Oh.
And Byron Kennedy. Jerry Rice needs no introduction, but I will give it to him. Pro Football Hall of Famer, subject of NFL icons on Epic Saturday night, and also considered the greatest football player of all time in
many
months.
He's on the short list.
And Byron Kennedy is the Bucks fan who had the 600th touchdown pass ball of Tom Brady's in his possession for a hot minute.
just read about how he's read
Buccaneers
how
fan on the screen, folks. It says Buccaneers fan got and gave back Tom Brady's 600th TD pass.
Amazing.
I mean, that's
and
about
by
it.
The way, his headshot is
great.
Is wearing a sombrero.
Well, it's from his Twitter feed. That's from his Twitter handle.
It's just phenomenal.
I mean, can you? They're back to back guests on this show. Can you get from one end of the NFL spectrum to the other?
This is why you tune in to our
That's
show.
Right. This is why you tune in. And, you know, I would never say that would never happen, but, you know, the soundbite of the year, man. I can't get enough of that one. Can you hit it for me, Mike?
Never say never.
God, it's the greatest. I want to hit that a little bit more in the show. But let's take a break, and coming up next is Joel Klatt of Fox Sports. Oh, boy. He's calling Michigan versus Michigan State. What a game on Fox on Saturday. That and much more, including Tomlin with USC, with the football analyst, college football analyst, coming up next. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
In the day 2 years ago, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So now, you know, this year I have not been pounding the Michigan table. I haven't talked about them very much at all.
We're not talking about them like 3 days a week like normal.
Right. I mean, or what's wrong with them and whatever. And your boy's trying to put me in a difficult position. Yeah. And
It's funny to watch. It's funny for us to watch you squirm talking about.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're 7-0 now.
Yeah. They're good.
Okay.
They're
good. And now comes the rough stretch. The states. Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State over the next several weeks.
Triple crown.
And as you know,
you're ranked sixth.
You know, I've been in my house that I bought this house. Susie and I bought this house 5.5 years ago. We've been there 5 years.
Really?
And yeah, I bought it from a Michigan State graduate.
That's right. You were scared to death.
And I'm planning, because it's Halloween week, tomorrow night, I'm going to get that little woman from Poltergeist. I don't know if she's alive or dead, but somebody who looks just like her, she's going to clean the house.
Okay.
This house will be clean.
Fair.
In time for noon kickoff on Fox.
Big noon.
Big game called by Gus Johnson and friend of the program, Joel Klatt, is back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Joel?
Good. What's going on, bud? How are you doing?
Oh, boy. I've been very... You know, my kids, I've got a 13, a 10, and an 8, okay? And they have used a word I'd never heard of before.
Uh-oh.
It's a combination of nervous and excited. I'm nervous-sided for Saturday's game. I'm a nervous-sided man for kickoff.
Oh, man.
On Saturday.
That seems like every test I ever took in my school days, nervous-sided. Man, I could not be more excited for this one. This is, you know, there are some rivalries out there that are great, obviously, but there are ones also that probably fly a little bit under the radar from a national perspective, but because of the blurred lines of the fan bases have more vitriol to them. This is one of those. And I mean, there is no love lost between the players, the fan bases, and this one should be excellent. I can't remember obviously a time that this rivalry meant so much to both programs and meant so much to college football in general. I mean, the last time they were both in the top 10 to face each other was 1964. So this should be an absolute bloodbath, and I am here for it.
And they've never been 7-0, each of them coming into this game as well. So let's talk about Michigan State a little bit. They beat Miami earlier this year. So, you take a look at the rest, Northwestern, Youngstown State, Nebraska, Western Kentucky, Rutgers, Indiana. So they haven't seen a team as composed and stout, as Michigan. How do you see Michigan State matching up in this game?
Well, Joel? I think that Michigan State has done such a good job of forming an identity and playing to that identity in a short time under their head coach, Mel Tucker. This is only his second year, and granted, they've done a lot of things in the transfer portal. So they've got a lot of new players, 40 new players on their team this year that weren't there a year ago, and they're getting a huge contribution from a lot of those guys. Kenneth Walker is one of those guys. He's the transfer that came in and has really transformed their running game. Comes in from Wake, and he's been terrific, leading rusher in the country. But I think more than anything else, it's their toughness and their mentality. You know, Mel Tucker was at Colorado. I got to know him pretty well when he was there, and he's unapologetically tough. Everything in practice is about competition and toughness. Everything in the weight room is about competition and toughness. He is very disciplined about the style of player that he wants, the mentality of the player, and also the frame of the player. If you look around at this roster, he has built this in the mold of more of an SEC roster. They're much faster on defense, Rich, than they have been in the past. And they're much longer on the outside. You look, they've got two corners, both transfer portal guys that came in, one from Florida, one from Alabama, Ronald Williams and Chester Kimbrough. They're both over 6 foot tall. Ronald Williams is 6 foot two. So he's doing things because of his history in the SEC, trying to bring an SEC style of defense to the Big Ten, where they get after the quarterback, they're long on the outside, and they get great linebacker play. They've got one of the best pass rushers in college football, Jacob Panishoop, who is just behind Aiden Hutchinson. So this is a team that will run it well. They're explosive on offense with a couple of good wide receivers, and they're fast on defense and long on defense. And I think Michigan is in for a very tough road because this team is going to be ready for them. And Michigan has shown an inability to be explosive in the passing game.
Yep.
And you know the Spartans are going to be loading up on that run game for the Wolverines.
Well, in terms of that, with the passing game explosive for Michigan, you've seen J.J. McCarthy, the second-string quarterback on the depth chart behind Cade McNamara, who is just looks, you know, he plays football like Harbaugh did for Michigan, to be honest with you. Moxie and intelligence and toughness and taking care of the ball and being a perfect extension for Harbaugh in the same way that Jim was for Bo back in the day. And he's made one mistake that Michigan was able to overcome, which was an interception in the second half against Nebraska. But McCarthy has a big play ability, and you see Jim kind of dabble with him a little bit. Do you think, like, what do you have you had conversations about Harbaugh about why and what? And maybe it's for games like this now that they're taking on the states, Michigan, Penn, and Ohio for this moment?
I have, as well as Josh Gattis, the offensive coordinator. And I think it's fascinating because in this day and age, you know, I think it's easy for coaches to scare themselves into a situation where they have to play one or the other. And also they scare themselves into or get pressured into via their fan base to play the more talented player all the time and the one with more recruiting stars. McCarthy, if no one knows out there, is a five-star recruit. He's a true freshman. Cade McNamara, he's a more veteran guy, and he's a little bit more steady. Let me put it to you this way, and this is my words, not theirs, but I'm going to paraphrase kind of what they say. They would not be 7-0 without Cade McNamara being their starting quarterback.
Fact.
There's a good chance that they can't get to 12-0 or 11-1 without J.J. McCarthy playing more significant role or even being their starting quarterback moving forward. Okay, so if you start to think about this, and I think that they had a long view to begin the season, where they know, like, listen, in order to give ourselves the best chance to win, Cade's got to play. He's not going to turn the ball over. We know we're very good up front on our offensive line. We've got these two great backs, and we're just going to be able to bludgeon people to death, really, and win games. Now, if we can get through Wisconsin on the road or Nebraska on the road, and we can win those games, we're going to set ourselves up for a chance to make a run here late in the season, late October and November. Now, having said that, rather than just put all their chips in that basket, they understand that Cade McNamara probably has a lid or a ceiling to where he can take the offense. I wouldn't categorize him as an above the X's and O's player. Here's how I would put it. They don't have a wide receiver that takes Cade's game to the next level, and Cade doesn't take any of their wide receivers' game to the next level. J.J. does, potentially, but he's the unbroken colt that, you know, you get on and you're like, you just don't know. So you don't want him to buck you off against Wisconsin or Washington early in the season and lose you a game with a poor interception or a mistake. But at the same time, you know that ceiling that Cade has on this offense may need to be ratcheted up, and that lid may need to come off of that offense at some point down the stretch. Maybe it's this week. So they played him, and it wasn't just small packages. They gave him the offense and would allow him to play in big moments and shuttle him in at times. So now, if and when they need to go to J.J. McCarthy, he's not an unknown commodity. They're not, quote, replacing the quarterback. They're just giving him an expanded role within the offense. I think it's been very smart from them. They understand what they're going to need here in the back half of the season, and I think they're more prepared to answer some of those questions if and when they arise than maybe they have been in the past.
What a backdrop, right, for 6-8, a big-time rivalry in college football for the Big Ten, top 10 matchup where Michigan State – with Mel Tucker rumored maybe to be a coach in the eye of other teams that might want to hire him, and then obviously Harbaugh, this stage of his career as the coach and a kid that might come in at quarterback and put some spice in it. I mean, you and Gus have got quite the piece of filet mignon served up.
There's no doubt, in
Saturday.
Particular when you know that this matchup, the Ohio State matchup, these types of matchups,
right.
You know, anybody else in college football can point to a 7-0 record and everyone would be like, man, our coach is getting it done this year.
Yes.
We're so excited. Not in Michigan. No. Everyone's just sitting back and you're like, okay, let's see it on October 30th. You know, let's see it on November 27th. That fan base, you included, I think would fall into that.
Yeah, I'm actually thrilled with this. It's been a while, man. You know, and I like it. I like seeing the fun that they're having. And you know, I mean, Pat Forty with a great story about a fun house that Harbaugh's building, right? The football fun house or something.
Yep.
I kind of dig it. And of course, Michigan State just wants to just wipe the floor with them. You know, personally, just to put a button on this, and we'll talk about some other college football stories. I think Michigan has been preparing for this game all year, that they're built to win a game like this. It's just what happens, you know, on Thanksgiving weekend. I don't know if they've got that firepower. If it's going to be a 40-30, you know, a 50-40 game or something like that. I don't know. That's why McCarthy's such a fascinating figure to me.
Exactly. And this is why I can't wait to see, like, when is it when he gets 50% of the snaps or 60% of the snaps, right? What what drive do they need it the most when they need his legs to affect the defense and his ability to throw it down the field? It's so fascinating, and I love it. This is why I love college football. Mm. And you're right, the mentality of this team is far different than the teams previous that I've covered at Michigan. There is an element of love of the game that's maybe a little higher, and love of each other, to be honest with you. I know that's hard to measure and talk about, but this is a team that really loves football. I think led by Hassan Haskins and Aiden Hutchinson, those two guys set the tone. Hutchinson being one of the best players in college football, a guy that no doubt, you know, you and I will be talking about come springtime when it comes to the NFL draft as one of the top draft picks next year. So it's just it's a fascinating game. And by the way, Michigan State, if they win this, that sets the world on fire.
Sure does.
Right? Like, LSU is going to be banging down their door if they win this game for their head coach, and they're going to be saying, please don't leave us. They already gave him $5.5 million to be there, which, you know, for a guy that hadn't won as a head coach is a lot of money. They're paying his assistants a lot of money. I think the pool for their assistants plus the head coach is somewhere over $11 million. So, you know, Spartan Land, this is a big one there, too.
Certainly sets up the weekend before Thanksgiving at Ohio State for Michigan State, and then the weekend of Thanksgiving versus Penn State. That could be for all the shooting match for who, I guess, would take on Iowa, one would think, in the other conference.
Side of the division is so fascinating. With Purdue beating Iowa,
right?
Wisconsin still technically controls their own destiny, kind of. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's there's also Purdue's still alive. Iowa is alive. Like, it's all over the map.
Joel Klatt, a few more minutes left with Joel Klatt, who's calling Michigan State on Saturday at noon with Gus Johnson and the rest of the Fox crew on joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. Here's a storyline. Let's front load it for December. Can a guy who comes in the middle of a season be considered a Heisman Trophy candidate, in Caleb Williams in Oklahoma? What do you think of that?
I think that you could consider him a candidate, and that's as far as I'll go. I believe in honoring the totality of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that he should win the Heisman Trophy because he has not played the requisite games. And I know that there's not, you know, some number, but part of being the best player in college football is being the best player in college football for your team for the entire season. And we haven't, it's totally unprecedented for a guy to miss even a couple of games and win the Heisman Trophy. So while it's a great story and I love what he's doing for that team, he's still, to me, somewhat of an, they almost lost to Kansas, you know, and I know it wasn't because he played poorly, but at some point, you know, that has to weigh into your equation, in particular when you've got guys that I think have put together a better full body of work. To be quite honest with you, I think Bryce Young's body of work is better than Caleb Williams. I think that Matt Corral's body of work, Kenny Pickett's body of work, C.J. Stroud's body of work, Kenneth Walker at Michigan State. I mean, there's guys all over the place that have a better full body of work than what Caleb does, and I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment to see what this kid is doing. While it's amazing, I don't believe that he should win the Heisman Trophy.
Well, I've never seen a player, Joel, spark a replay review because he has stolen the ball away from his own ball carrier to make sure there's a first down on fourth down. I've never seen that before, but I did see it against Kansas. And yeah, they almost lost to Kansas. But there's always that clunker, right? When you go on the road in conference against somebody that can hang their entire season on a one win that day against you, and they didn't suffer that loss because of this kid.
Yeah,
you know,
and that play I think was
never seen.
It was one of the more impressive plays I've ever seen in my entire life.
Right,
I love watching him, and I don't want to diminish him as a player.
Sure.
That doesn't mean that I don't think he's not great, because he is, and he has sparked this team to. I think a much better version of themselves. You look in particular at their run game. They've averaged 220 yards or more a game in those three games since he's taken over. That was vastly different than what they were under Spencer Rattler, in large part due to the fact that he's contributing not only with those like 75 rush yards per game, but he's threatening the defense. His ability to make throws down the field on time and more in rhythm than what Rattler was doing is tremendous. Having said that, even with that moment, ripping the ball away from Kennedy Brooks in order to save a victory, I just don't think he's played enough games.
Yeah, I hear you and I agree with you. I've just never seen somebody create a play where the officials say, "Let's stop. We got to take a look at that."
Yeah, like, what's going on? Is that legal? I don't know.
That was amazing.
I was like, wait, is that legal? I don't know if that's legal or not.
I know, it's amazing. Last one for you here. The Carson Palmer mention of Mike Tomlin's name for USC's open candidacy on our buddy Dan Patrick's show. Look, when I was in high school, Christy Brinkley was on my wish list, too. So, breaking news. So what'd you make of that? And where do you think the USC coaching search is if they're really spending time on Mike Tomlin, which I think is a non-starter, clearly?
Well, so I think that swinging big is fine. And I think that USC does have cachet. And I don't think that they have to limit themselves. Now, having said that, I loved what Mike said. Yes. I love what I mean, that's how you turn a job down. And I think it's also, by the way,
I love that.
It might be sneaky brilliant to challenge billionaires about the size of their blank check. Was the best part for me. I was like, he was like, "There's not a big enough blank check," and I'm like, "Really? Like, are we?
Have you met Dr. Dre?" you know? Right.
Now, having said that, the only part that I thought was interesting that he bristled at, and I understand it was heat of the moment, but when he's talking about Andy Reid, he's talking about Sean Payton.
Right.
Well, with all due respect to Mike Tomlin, those guys weren't mentioned by Carson Palmer,
right,
who's part of the search committee for the open position. So this had nothing to do with a disrespectful question to him personally. In fact, the journalist who asked the question was just doing their job. So I have a little bit of a problem of getting on a soapbox and making it seem like the question is absolutely ridiculous. It's not a ridiculous question because of what was reported by Carson Palmer. If you want to get mad at Carson Palmer, that's fine. John Harbaugh doesn't get mad when he gets mentioned for college jobs, which happens more regularly than when it happens for Mike Tomlin. This has been the first time. And he's got what I would consider to be a very similar style resume and style job in the National Football League, a very good organization that's having a lot of success, a deep tenure, a good GM over a course of a couple of different GMs, just like Mike Tomlin. And he gets asked about it as well and doesn't have a blow-up moment. So while I want to praise, like, that's how you turn a job down, it also shouldn't have gotten personal, as if, like, how dare they ask me about it? It's like, listen, your name was brought up. You're going to get the question.
I think part of it might be that Palmer's a Bengal, you know, or originally was. At least I know that's what Steeler fans think.
All over the place, right?
Yeah,
he's
I know.
To himself, like, how do I help my old organization? Here's how I do. The easiest way to be defeated is be distracted. So he just threw a distraction grenade right in there to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That sneaky brilliance by Palmer.
Well, Joel.
But man, I wish at some point, let's all hope that we're in a position to challenge a billionaire about the size of their blank check.
Joel Klatt, thanks for the call. And once again, you will have my emotions, you and Gus, in the palms of your hands and your headsets. And I will be glued. I will be glued and hopefully joyous by the end of the day. But I know the call will be great. You guys are awesome. Thanks for the call.
I appreciate that, Rich. Have a good one, man. Right, can't wait to hook up later in the year.
Okay, you got it. That's Joel Klatt right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Love that guy, man. Love that guy. He said something right there about what Tomlin said. I wanna pull on that strand a little bit. And plus, Mike, don't play it now. Play it next. I might want the entire press conference
the
answer.
Whole thing.
It actually I want
was
the entire
great.
Answer from soup to nuts.
Yeah,
I might want to hear that every day.
It's a good.
Plus, that's the way to water and fertilize our rundown.
Well,
let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show before Jerry Rice joins us. And then the guy who got Tom Brady's ball and handed it back. They're back to back on this show on the same, the same rundown. We're watering, we're fertilizing.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
On our radio broadcast, terrestrial, and also Sirius XM and Odyssey and NBC Sports on Peacock. It's just been sitting with me for a couple days, man. It's just been sitting with me. Mike Tomlin, this is the best, man. This soundbite is great. Who do we have on yesterday who said it was just like it's up there with the all-time great coaching rants, right? We had somebody on yesterday.
Did Joe
Manganiello.
Say that?
Yeah, Manganiello said it's up there. Joe, great point by Joe Manganiello, all the way from Ireland. It's up there.
Playoffs.
Yes, and it's up there.
We're talking about practice.
It is up there.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a while for us to realize that it's up there. It's up there with we are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Mm-hmm. You got that, Mike?
You know, you already got that, but I mean. Let's soup to nuts this thing.
The whole
man.
Thing? We're just going to play the whole thing?
I want the full on soundbite.
I love it.
Go for it. Please roll it. I want
guys,
it.
Guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never.
I mean, it's the greatest.
Okay. Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
That's the line, dude.
Anyone else?
All right.
Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
See, now what makes a great rant from a coach? Here's what makes a great rant from a coach. It's not profanity.
Nope.
Even though there was profanity in Denny Green's.
Right. Yeah.
We are who they thought we were. And he said he used the BS twice, right? But stick like back to back, like rapid fire BSs. That's what makes a rant great is sometimes working yourself up. Like it started with Tomlin. He knew he was going to be asked the question. He gets asked the question. He begins to answer it. And then he begins to get angry in the middle of it. And then you've got not one, but two great lines. Two. Great lines where it's like never say never, but never. And then there's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
Yep.
And Joel Klatt just said last segment here something interesting that's kind of like calling out a billionaire in a
true.
Way. Like, you don't have enough money for me. And do you think like Jimmy Iovine heard that and is like, let me get my checkbook. That's why I said he's never met Dr. Dre, you know, whose name is on a building there.
Yeah. How much money
Spielberg,
do I actually have?
Spielberg,
does Spielberg care about who's the coach of USC
Will
football?
Ferrell?
I thought you were going to say, does Spielberg care about money? Like,
no,
he has
but
too
I'm
much.
Saying, you know what I mean?
Like, they could
way.
Build a bridge from Pittsburgh
like
to
USC,
here.
USC's
for,
got...
For
USC's
please.
Got bank, man.
Spielberg net worth $3.7 billion.
I mean, he could stroke a check.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? But Jimmy Iovine's like, you know what?
Hold my.
We
drink.
Sold a few headsets around here, right? Like
headphones.
He beats so for how much did Dr.
But,
Dre sell beats for?
And Joel takes the approach million. There of saying that's a way to actually fish out a blank check large enough. Mm-hmm. But he said, never say never, but never. And then what really makes a rant that much better is when you hear off mic somebody who's running the press conference say anything else, or in the case of Denny Green, Mark Dalton of Arizona going, thanks, coach. Like that just adds something extra. And then after that happens, but thanks, coach, that was the end of it. But this one, anything else? The person who had anything else was Tomlin.
Yeah, he had something else.
And then the ultimate is you have ended the press conference.
Walk
That's
off.
What Denny Green did. Walked off.
Walk off.
Right?
Yeah.
Walk off. Get up. get out, stare at everybody, and go. I think I don't know if enough people have realized that we have a new one. The one being an all-time great coach rant from Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, as you're saying this, Rich, I'm putting up a poll. What's the best part of Mike Tomlin's presser?
We've deconstructed it.
So I have it. We broke it down, and I think you hit all the points, too. The blank check line, phenomenal.
I love that one.
The emphatic never.
Yes.
The emphatic never. The overall tone.
Yes.
And the walk-off.
The walk-off.
Yeah.
The walk-off. Matt Leinart will be one of the first. Matt Leinart will be next.
I mean, that was fantastic.
Thanks, Coach. We still have never had Matt Leinart. Like, what was that like to walk in that room after that? Was he aware that Denny Green had said what he had said? And then he just walks in and he's just like, hey guys, why is everybody freaking out around here? I know we just lost in horrible fashion, but.
We need to ask.
What happened in here? Do we need to open a window? Like, what happened in here?
At Rich Eisen Show, vote right now.
Need more air in here or what?
Never say never, but never.
That is just as. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite drops of all time.
That's up there.
I've had thousands. That's easily in my top five.
Thousands.
I have thousands of drops that I have over my history of mixing.
Outside of the Rich Eisen Show oeuvre of drops.
By the way, Rich, you're in the top. You have a top 10.
Which is what?
I don't have it here, but.
What is it?
I
cursed?
No.
Yeah, you're just making yourself up right now.
No, from the NFL Network days when your earpiece went out and we were doing a two-way.
Yeah.
Schefter's on remote in Giants Stadium.
Yeah, right.
You yelled to the A2, and I would normally bring your
Stefan,
mic.
Right? I screamed out Stefan's name.
And Schefter's on the other end.
Right.
And literally jumped because he didn't know what you were doing. Your ear went out. You couldn't hear.
I mean, that can't be a top. That's not better than this.
Back in the old days.
You've got better ones literally in front of you than that, Mike.
I mean,
you've got them all right there.
I have.
Sorry, Rich Eisen.
That's a good one? Sure.
Ballin'!
Okay, very good.
I mean,
we have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray.
Because that's actually germane for so many different things. Very good. Never say never, but never.
Never.
Talk about.
Yeah.
That's John Voight. Me saying I was, you know.
Brockman loves that one.
So, no, but I mean, never say never, but never. Could you turn down a job more emphatically in five words? I mean, the economy of words, too.
A double negative.
Mike Tomlin.
A double negative.
Coach Mike Tomlin entering the pantheon of all-time great coaching rants. That was awesome. Jerry Rice is coming up right here on the Rich Eisen Show, and so is the guy who had Brady's touchdown bauble and then handed it back.